Last time we met together, there was a fewer people here, so I'm just going to run through the questions that we went through last time and kind of give you the consensus answers. If someone has something wildly different than what I'm saying, you know, speak up. But the first question that we went over, what does it mean to have faith? What does having faith mean? We talked about a trust and a reliance on God, not being guided by our emotions or our feelings, just believing in God, trusting in what he says. We talked about demonstrating our faith. We asked, how do we demonstrate it? And one of the ways that we demonstrate our faith is by being obedient, doing what God says. If he leads us a certain way, we demonstrate our faith by doing, by following the word. Being humble, serving others, different ways. Basically, just comes down to being obedient, doing what God wants us to do. The question that I asked, that was a little odd, but what would God want our faith to look like? It was really just trying to put ourselves in God's shoes. If he's looking at us, how would he want us to live our lives that would show our faith? And we talked about trust and reliance, a single-mindedness, having a focus on what God says and not relying so much on our feelings, or not falling into sin and staying there, but instead kind of keeping a short account with our sin. That pretty much, for those that were here, does that sound about right? Yeah. And then the last question from last week is, how do we limit our faith? And this was really important because in Hebrews chapter 11, which is what we read the entirety of last time, it went on and on talking about different kinds of people and how they, in different ways, trusted in God's word. They trusted in what he said. And we talked about the different things that can kind of keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Sometimes it's us kind of elevating our own ideas above God. Sometimes it's us just flat out having idols in our life where we love something more than God. For some of us, it's just that sin is more enticing. Some of us, it's fear. That fear keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. So we talked about that, and then we went into the discussion about Hebrews chapter 11. And we talked about James, where it talks about how action and that faith without works is dead, the relationship between our faith and what we do. And then we talked about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she believed God and she trusted in God, even though it was a great sacrifice for her to believe God, and how she was elevated just because she was blessed to be the mother of our Savior. So that's what we talked about last time. So tonight, I want to continue our discussion with just two more questions. And this kind of takes our discussion tonight into a different aspect of what we want to talk about tonight. What can we do to encourage and breathe life into our faith? Sometimes we get into routine. Sometimes we get into this rut where we just feel far away from God. What is it that we can do actively to encourage or breathe life, inspire our faith? And this is where you guys now answer. So, what do you guys think? Chris?
Me, personally, I feel it's more when I try to carry someone else, okay, more than just my own needs. And I feel like sometimes when I can call someone to say, you know, how have you been, what's there anything to do for you, you know, how can I be a blessing to others? And I feel like when I do that, it's like, it comes back.
Okay.
But find out what's next, wait on God and see what's next in your faith. And that way it'll become a goal for you.
Okay.
And you can push forward.
So we seek God's face to know what's next for us. Okay. Like almost like make it a priority to look to him for direction in our life. Okay. So getting focused off yourself and focusing on others, or focusing on God in order to know what the next step of obedience would be for your life. Anything else?
On a practical, go ahead. I mean, whenever, I guess this is answering or not, I mean, it's just whenever I find myself in that situation, it's when my mind's set on pursuing God, mm-hmm, and then sometimes we catch ourselves not doing what we said we were going to do, and we notice that's when we're not seeing anything, is when we're stopping. stop doing what we're supposed to be doing. Pursuing God.
So it's almost like stopping and taking an inventory, saying, hey, what's going on here? Why have I hit a wall? Or why have I stagnated here? Let me figure out, and maybe let God reveal sin or reveal issues in your life that he wants to address, which is kind of ties into what Joe was saying. I think in very practical ways, too, sometimes encouraging or inspiring our faith is just chasing God, like whether it's reading our Bible, looking for some maybe some music that might inspire us or encourage us in our faith, listening to sermons, going to podcasts, you know, trying to find something that might pull you, like just basically letting the Holy Spirit lead you, but really looking for God to reveal himself through his word or through you know, music or something like that, that's very specific. But that also comes down to basically chasing God.
Lately for me it's been having faith in God and what he has for you next down the road, but obviously we can't say that faith is substance of his hope for you and things not yet seen. Not knowing what it is, but also when it does arrive, not having any reservations about what you expect it to be. Mm-hmm. And it also ties into the Bible with acceptance in my life now too, which is, so it's kind of working, it's been working in a lot of areas.
So similar to a self-evaluation or an inventory, you're looking more at a reflection so that you can kind of empty yourself of the expectation and just be content. You're looking for contentment in what you're at.
Yeah, then you gotta learn to be so accepted.
Yeah.
Okay. Or you can learn results with it.
This question is a little more specific, and I apologize it gets dark down there, but what steps should we take in our lives to ensure that our faith is pleasing to God? One of the scriptures that comes to my mind is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's one of the scriptures I'm going to go to now. So if we're focused on pleasing God in our lives, what steps should we take to ensure that our faith is pleasing to God?
So daily self-evaluation.
Okay.
Looking at the events and the things that you're involved in, and asking yourself, does this glorify God?
Mm-hmm. Good.
What I've been catching myself doing lately, like, in, I guess this is a way, like, it caught myself. I found myself talking to people, I talk to people more about God than I talk with God, like, personally. Mm-hmm. Like, it always feels like I'm always out just telling people about it, just going out, and I guess the thought of me, I never think about it when I'm just by myself. And I understand that the most important time with God is when you're by yourself, when you're there on your knees, just by yourself, talking with him. And I guess by me doing that, I forget the question, but it's
okay. I am actually.
The question down there.
But I mean, I think what you're saying is incredible. I think it's really a key thing that kind of ties into a lot of what I'm talking about tonight, which is that doing for God can become a replacement for relationship with God. And if we're not connected to God in a relationship, then all the doing becomes really empty. And so the step that we should take daily is to make sure that our doing for God isn't taking the place of our being with God, of our relationship with him and our connection to him. I think that's profound. All right. Let's get to it. Hebrews chapter 11. I actually have just part of this connected, because if you read the entirety of Hebrews chapter 11, it's a pretty long chapter, and it goes through person by person talking about different things. Verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." This is what Dave was quoting. "The evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." In other words, faith is sort of the beginning of all things. It's the beginning of our understanding of how God is and how he is over all things. And that even though there's things that we are still hoping for, it's the evidence of those things in our lives. It's that factor that's so important to us. Verse 6, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then at the end of Hebrews chapter 11, after it goes through this whole big long line of all these people who have been pleasing to God because of their faith, it says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me, after all of these people that he's talked about, to tell of Gideon of and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." It's talking about the faith of all these folks. And up into the first part, it's talking about how through faith they did all these great things. And even the beginning of this is talking about good things, where they received their dead back, or they were made whole, or they were quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, they closed the mouths of lion, they were made strong in their weakness. But then it talks about these bad things that happened to them too, through faith. That they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Okay, and they were the ones that the world was not worthy of. We think about faith sometimes, we think about, oh wow, if I just had faith, then everything would go great. But I think sometimes having faith and trusting in God doesn't necessarily mean that everything's going to go hunky-dory, that we're always going to have good times and it's going to be great fun and we're going to be able to be, you know, in this hall of fame. This hall of fame of faith is about things that sometimes bad things happen to them too. And that the way that they endured through faith, trusting in what was yet to come, they obtained a good testimony, even though they did not receive the promise. Moving on to Hebrews chapter 12 is what I want to go into tonight. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons." So I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 12 again. The beginning of it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." So as we're talking about faith, and we're talking about the fact that we are called upon to apply God's faith that he gives to us in our lives, this basically is saying there are so many others that have gone before us, so many others that have taken God at his word and have endured to the end. And for us, we shouldn't be challenged, or we shouldn't find it discouraging when we find ourselves being chastened or disciplined by the Lord, because it's those that he loves that he rebukes. He will basically deal with us and get in there with us, because it's a symbol of his love, and it's actually a way of him demonstrating his love towards us. So tonight, just a few points before we take our time in worship, and some of these points are the same as last time. God is glorified when we have faith in his word. God is looking to us to trust in what he says. That's the way that we demonstrate our faith. That's the way that we live out our faith, is that we take what his word says and we apply it to our lives. Similarly, faith must have an action component. In James chapter 2, I believe is where I referenced last week, it's the whole idea that if we have faith, there needs to be something that accompanies. Action has to be connected to it. That faith without works, without doing something, is a dead faith. And so God is not looking to us to do things just for him. It's that when we do things for him, we are demonstrating our trust in that what he has said is true. That our lives are backing up what we believe. And there needs to be that kind of connection, both with the way that we live our lives. So he's calling us to take action, not to just sit back. You know, our young adults group is called Engage. It's talking about getting connected and going out and doing something. The symbol, which you guys gave tonight, that symbol of the gear is that together we're able to accomplish more. One gear by itself is just spinning, but interlocked with other gears, there's a lot more that can be done. And together you're able to accomplish something like a timepiece, like a watch, or some other great huge piece of machinery, okay? The cogs of each one doing their part, everyone engaging and being connected. We need to ask ourselves whether we are failing to live the lives that God has called us to because of our choices and our sin. We can sometimes chase after things that are good and actually be out of the will of God. We can allow sin that we kind of allow for a short time in our lives, saying, you know, it's not a big deal, it's only hurting myself. Those choices or that sin can damage our ability to be connected and to demonstrate our faith and our love for the Lord. We need to be willing to self-evaluate, like we were talking about before, taking time to do an inventory and say, is there something that's standing in the way of me and God? Recently, I was talking to somebody, and they were talking about the fact that there was like a wall between them and me. And I said, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because I felt that same thing too. And if it weren't for that conversation, bringing those things to light, there wouldn't have been this falling down of that wall between the two of us. And when we brought it to the light, when we discussed it, it was an allowance for us to say, hey, this is what it is. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it all out. It's the same way with God. When there's a wall between us and God, sometimes he's waiting for us to acknowledge it and say, God, something just isn't quite right here between you and me. I don't feel that you're as close as you used to be. I'm trying to serve you. And then if we do that, if we kind of call it out and say, God, this is an issue, this is a problem for me, God comes through for us and begins to open up our eyes to maybe the sin or the good thing in our life that we're putting above him. And he's saying, I want your priorities to be in line with what I have for you. So those points were from last time. When God reveals our lack of faith through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we must apply our faith and put it into action. Pastor Valco was talking about it this morning, that when God brings the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it is a terrible, terrible thing for us to just ignore it, or for us to kind of bury our head in the sand and just kind of wait for it to pass. Because what it does is it sears our conscience. It keeps us from being able to sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to give us conviction, to show us when we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. Even chasing after things that are good, but maybe not, it's the wrong time in our lives, or it's the wrong thing, or that it's got a place in our lives that it shouldn't have. We need to understand that God, by his Holy Spirit, is desiring to lead us and guide us. And we must apply our faith when he comes in those ways in our lives and do something about it. Just say, oh, well, I believe God is saying this to me isn't enough. You need to push in and say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be getting closer to you and not allow this thing to stand between us any longer? The faith of others, and ultimately Jesus, should provoke us towards righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all of these saints that have gone before us, who before they even saw the promise of Jesus Christ, believed God. Abraham, who, and God credited it to him as righteousness because he trusted in what God said. There are so many others that have just said, you know what, I don't see how this is going to get me closer. I don't see how this is going to work out the way that I want it to, but I'm going to trust in what God has said and do it. When we do that, when we listen to God and say, you know what, I'm going to trust in you instead of what I can see. I'm going to trust in your word instead of what I feel. When we do that, we're saying, God, you are the most important person in my life. You are my God, and I am your servant. I belong to you, and this is how I'm going to demonstrate it. This is how I'm going to show it. I'm going to obey. I'm going to put my faith into action. Jesus Christ, our ultimate example, didn't find, in Hebrews chapter 12, he didn't scorn the cross. Instead, he was obedient even to the point of death. And his example, he, I think in Hebrews chapter 12, what I love, for consider him, verse 3, him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to the bloodshed, striving against sin. Christ did that. His shed blood on the cross, he did that work for us. We should be encouraged because his work for us allows for us to not have to do that work. He's done it already for us. So we should be encouraged in our souls. We should be encouraging one another, saying, hey, remember Enoch, remember Moses, remember Noah. When we talk about the heroes of the faith, remember David. We spent all of this past year talking about David. There's a reason for it. David trusted God. Over and over and over again, it looked like things were terrible for him. You know, Saul was chasing him down. People were lying about him. People were cursing him. People were calling down, you know, curses upon him. And yet he stayed true to what God said. People were saying, just kill Saul. God's delivered him into your hands. He said, no, I'm going to trust in what God has said to me. It's that kind of perseverance to trust in what God has said, basically shutting out every other voice and saying, God, I just want to know what you have to say to me. He trusted in that, and it was that that pleased God. It was that kind of faith, that trusting in the Lord. And the fact that God will deal with us along the way. He will rebuke us and work in our lives. And this is the last one. It's really dark over there. If our hope is in a day that is yet to come, we should live our lives for that day. That day should be the filter we live our lives through. And this is kind of what Brandon was saying before, too. If our hope is that one day we will be standing before the Lord, we will be looking at him face to face, where we'll see him as he is and we will become like him. It's in those moments that in my own life, I don't want to stand before the Lord ashamed. I believe that God is. I believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe that God has given me the faith, but also more than that, I rely upon him when there's times where I don't have faith, when I feel discouraged or overwhelmed. I put my trust in him and I draw closer to him in that relationship because I know there will be a day where everything that I have done, where I'll be held accountable for that. The Bible says that those who teach will be held to a higher account, okay, because of the way in which they lead. And I know that as God is dealing with me, I don't want to stand ashamed before him. Yes, I want to serve all of you. I want to love all of you. I want to be a faithful servant. But the reason why I want to be a faithful servant ultimately is because one day I know deep in my spirit that I'm going to be looking at him eyeball to eyeball. And I'm going to have to say, you know what, God, with your help, I did my best. I tried. There's times where I failed, but you kept me on course and I did what you asked me to do. And so it's so important for us to seek the Lord, to know what his will is for us. Because some, they shut the mouths of lions. Some were tormented and were sawn in two. Okay, some, we look at them and say, wow, these are the heroes of the faith. But I think of so many of the early Christians that were crucified and burned by Nero for their faith. And for us, we don't know what the future holds. But what I do know is that God, you know, it's kind of cliche in the church, God holds the future. He knows what's going to happen. And today is your only opportunity to prepare for what's ahead. And so if you have faith in God, if you believe, okay, you need to be mindful that that day that we're living for is a day that will surely come. And everything that we live for, and every day, that filter that we see everything through, that those sets of glasses, so to speak, this is what I'm living for. I want to be pleasing to him. I want my faith to demonstrate that I love God above everything else, that he is my everything. He sent his son, he died on the cross so that I could be forgiven, so that I could be in relationship and be connected to him. I'm going to demonstrate through my life that that is what I'm all about. And so as we're looking into this new year, as we look into the blessings that are ahead for us in God, we need to remember that God is working in us to prepare us. prepare us for the trials that are ahead, for the blessings that are ahead, that those blessings would not take the wrong place in our lives, in our hearts. Think about that. If you're believing God for something great in your life, okay, those things, because we're an unfaithful people, can sometimes be in the wrong place in our heart. And so now, if we're looking to God and saying, God, I want your blessings, but more than that, I want you. Your blessings and your time and your way, I'm going to put my trust in you. That's our faith in action. That the prayers that we pray, the ways that we live, how we interact with people that we struggle with, or how we overcome the challenges that are in our life, that is how we put our faith into practice. And sometimes we don't see the end result. Sometimes we don't understand how this fits into the big picture. But if we put our trust not in our ability to understand, but instead in God's ability to figure it all out, that he has the end in mind, the end game in mind, and that he just wants us to be mindful of him and trust him to grow us and prepare us, then we'll be in the right place at the right time, and we'll be the right people for that moment in time, that we'll have the right words to speak, or we'll have the right attitude, that we'll have the right heart to give what we're called upon to give. Jesus Christ, our perfect example, did not scorn the shame of the cross, but he went to the cross because he knew that this was the time, this is what he came for. And for us, whether Joe was talking about this too, knowing what God's purpose is for us, being mindful of that. God, you have something greater in mind for me. You have a calling for my life. And all of us do. Every one of us has a calling that God has for us. It may not be to full-time ministry, but it is to become the person God created you to be. It is to be a person full of faith and trust and reliance. It is a person who puts preparation, mindful of preparation, that God is preparing you now for the works that are yet to be revealed. So, as we take some time now, we're going to worship the Lord. That will be the end of our service. That's kind of how we do our service here. I want to encourage you to be mindful of these things. We're looking to God for a new year. Some of us might be hopeful for things that maybe haven't happened for you yet. And I would encourage you, put your trust in God. Okay. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to consider your word tonight. As young people, we just desire to know you more, to be closer to you, that your ways would become our ways, that we would be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would be pleasing to you in every way. Father God, I pray that you would give us a sense of expectation. For some, this next year holds a lot of promise. There's possibility of marriage, children, Lord God, all these things that are before us, Lord God. We just ask for you to make a way in our lives, that we would keep our focus and our attention upon you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to consider your word, and I pray that faith would grow in our lives, that you would give us a holy expectation for you to do great things in us. Lord, help us to choose you over and over and over again, and help us to lay aside sin and the things that so easily ensnare us, and let us look to you, God. You are the author, the perfecter of our faith. We thank you for this time in your word. As we worship you now, Lord God, I pray that you would speak to us, challenge us, and grow us closer to you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.